Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Magically Cruising, the cruise podcast where we share our personal cruise tips and reviews to help you make the most out of your next sailing. My name's Kieran. I'm an independent travel agent specializing in all things cruise, Disney, and North America, and I'm joined by my fellow co-host.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I write over at Cruising for All, Cruising with Kids, and Mini Travelers.
Brilliant. Thank you, Sarah. And today we're going to talk about kind of reviews. So today's topic is going to be a chat around some of the worst rated cruise ships according to Which.com. However, before we do that, on the topic of reviews, we just want to ask a favour for everyone who's listening type of thing. We normally ask this at the end of the episode, but we've just recently had a handful of negative reviews, which has brought down our review on Apple Podcasts. So if you are listening to this and you do enjoy our podcast, could you just do us a big, huge favor? Would you mind just popping on to Apple, the podcast app, and just leaving us a review to let us know what you think and if you enjoy it? We don't normally like to ask or beg for reviews just because we think your viewing figures are enough for us, but it feels like somebody has gone and intentionally kind of given us a couple of negative reviews and our review score has gone down. And looking into the back end of it and seeing how much of our episodes are listened by our listeners, the two things aren't tying up. So we're not calling anyone out. We're not saying it's underhanded. It just feels like it is. So yes.
Probably someone that's had a really bad day.
It's probably because we said we wouldn't go on their personal favourite cruise. I'm like, right, that's it. One out of five for that.
You're out. You might not even like that.
They thought they were getting a very different episode on cruising and were very disappointed when we were talking about it.
Tell me what it was.
Anyway, on that very loose segue, what we've done is we just have this chat because we constantly get sent and we get kind of shared the kind of best rated cruise ship, worst rated cruise ship. And both me and Sarah are quite passionate about this. We always just think that they're a load of rubbish, being completely transparent with where we stand on this, because it's more about finding the right cruise ship for you personally. Sarah, I think you agreed on you spend a lot of time in your Facebook group and on your blog just kind of talking about why somebody should pick a particular cruise line rather than kind of going, this one's the best because it's won this many awards and this many scores type of thing.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, I mean, obviously there's no secret what my favorite is, and Donna's the same. And there's nothing wrong with that, because that's our website, and we write about what we love. But yep, we're not saying that everybody will love Royal Caribbean or MSC. But in our Facebook group, it's really interesting, because when someone says best cruise, it's always really divided and people are very strong on their opinions. And rightly so, because I've had a good experience. But, you know, somebody put the other day, there was one cruise line, they said, oh, they've had really bad reviews for food and I shouldn't go on. And then loads of people come in and said, no, you've got to go Royal. But actually, then it was MSC, and there were loads of people that come in and said, we love it. We cruise on MSC all the time. So I think Absolutely. It's not about one cruise line's better. It's about getting the right cruise line for you and your family and your needs, because we're all different people and want different things. And that's why we're not friends with everybody in the world, because we're all different.
100%, yeah. That's why we thought it'd be interesting to see this, because we looked at this list. We've looked at many lists kind of thing. There's lots of these versions of these online by different people. But what we thought we'd do is we would cite Which.com, just because it's a bit of an impartial source for those in America. I'm sure Which is an American thing as well, isn't it? I'm not sure. But for those who maybe don't know, Which is kind of an impartial body that do kind of public surveys, or they do kind of, they're very well regarded, at least anyway, with regard to kind of looking at reviews and impartial kind of ratings of what's good, what's bad. I personally don't like the Which system, just because, again, it's a very small subsection of the community. They have their viewers, they have their listeners type of thing who watch them. So again, they get in a very skewed sense, which is what we found interesting when we looked at this list. We were instantly like, what the hell? That list doesn't make sense. But we've used them because they are impartial. So we're not targeting any one kind of newspaper or anything like that. We're targeting kind of somebody who is a bit impartial and just kind of going to go through who they put at the top and who they put at the bottom, and just kind of our thoughts on what's happening there, or why that may be happening, or maybe why what we agree with, what we don't agree with type of thing. So I don't know where you want to start, Sarah. Do you want to kind of work from the bottom up or go from the top down? Or
I think before, I just want to say this, because actually it just came to me that this happened to us the other night. So we'd finished watching, is it Grisella on Netflix, which I loved. Chris was looking for something new to watch, and he Googled what to watch on Netflix. And I actually said to him, don't bother.
Yeah.
Because all those people are just got affiliate links, and they're just saying what is available. They're not giving an opinion. And I think that's the thing you've got to be careful of. Like, if we do best cruise ships, it's because it's sighted and a salt, and it's salted, and we've sighted the salties. And that's just people's opinions. And this is the same. You've got to be careful where you get this information from, because, like, searching the best irons, you're not going to get the best iron. You're just going to get 10 affiliate links to irons that's going to earn someone money. And that's why we're looking at which and not other sources, because they're just full of affiliate links and not necessarily genuine. I'm not saying all, but a lot. So should we start from the bottom? Because the bottom shocks me more than anything else.
Yeah, definitely. So, well, do you want to go with who is on the bottom of the which? Now, we should probably just say as well, this is based on a survey done over 1,727 members of which. So again, like I say, this is a sample set of which readers, but it's 1,727 of them, and this is from November 2022. So it's a little bit out of date by now, but I'm sure if they rerun this, the figures probably wouldn't be a massive amount different, just certain cruise lines would be in slightly different places. But yeah, do you want to jump off then? Who is on the bottom of this list?
It's rubbish. Princess Cruises.
Shocking.
Which is, I mean, so the top customer score is 90% and the bottom is 67%. When you're looking at it, maybe if I read through it, so you've got Princess, then you've got MSC, then you've got Costa, then you've got Azamara.
Which, again, I just can't fathom how Azamara is the bottom of this radar. Like, it just shocks me.
Holland America. Now, this is interesting, actually. Fred Olsen, they had one of the highest votes. Cunard, Celebrity, Silversea, Royal Caribbean, and NCL. They're all in the bottom half.
Yeah.
Then we go to, I can't even say it, Hurtigruten.
Yep, Hurtigruten.
Disney, Carnival, Virgin Voyages, Regent Seven Seas, Marella.
Which, do you know what, Marella to be sixth, I think? Sixth on this list of the best cruise lines.
No idea who's voting. Oceana. Sorry if you like Marella. Just, I've never sailed on it, so I only have a pre-opinion, I suppose. Seabourn. Oh, here we go. This channel seems voting. Saga. Viking. And Noble Caledonia. Yep. Straight away looking at that graphic, and there's nothing wrong with being retired, you know, because one day that's going to be me. But but you can see by the vote that it's a more retired market.
I think so, definitely, think.
The family cruise lines and the more fun cruise lines are lower down.
What I will say, and we chatted about this before we came on the podcast, but kind of jumping off with the Princess thing being where they are as well, there's a lot of changes happening to the Princess Cruise experience that I think key Princess demographic at the moment are really disgruntled. You just got to go into any hostile Princess Facebook group and just see any kind of reception you have about the changes. Like, we got it as well when we did our podcast episode about the drinks changes, when they changed, so they kind of made now that room service was an extra charge now unless you pay for Princess Plus and Princess Premier. We got a lot of heat as well, saying that we're shills because we're selling out to the cruise lines. And I'm a travel agent. That's what we do for a living. Yeah. But we got attacked for it. But we were...
That's who's voting. That's who gave us a review.
Yeah, that's what it is, because we were shilling for Princess, saying like we didn't think it was unreasonable. But this thing, there's been a lot of changes, I think, to what Princess used to include, used to offer, and they've now added in extra tiers, and they have made it more complicated. So if you are an old seasoned Princess cruiser, you are going to be frustrated by the fact that there's all these changes. So there's no denying that you know, if you have sailed Princess, you're getting, I wouldn't say less, because it is the same price, and it's just changed how you pay for it. But you are going to be frustrated that things that used to be included are now technically an extra charge, even though the majority of Princess customers were paying for it anyway. They've just now moved it officially into you have to pay to get it rather than it being included for everyone. It's not that I can see why Princess at the bottom. It just I'm probably guessing that would be why, at least anyway.
I think looking at the demographic that's both, and like I say, my aim is to retire and cruise. So I'm not knocking anybody that's retired, and you know what? Good on you for cruising and doing what you want to do in life. But just by looking at that, I'm not saying, you can tell it's a retired demographic because of where the family cruise lines sit. And just on, actually, I'm just going to say this. So if you are a Princess Cruise fan, because I think they're the horriblest groups out on Facebook.
I left it just because I've seen how... I love a bit of drama. I love being in a Facebook group and seeing a bit of cruise drama, but I just think some of it is unreasonable.
Downright nasty.
It's such a tough topic, isn't it? Because I get it. There's been a big change and people now have to have less for what they used to get included. But it's across the whole cruise industry. The whole cruise industry has put their prices up. A lot of them have moved gratuities out of their all-included package. It's not as if Princess are immune to these changes and these external factors causing the prices to go up and them having to make those service changes. But yeah, there's a certain passion within Princess Cruise fans for that.
But if you are a Princess Cruise fan and you want a nice Facebook group, then Laura, Cruise Lifestyle, who has been a regular guest on the podcast, has got one called Princess Cruises Dining, Food and Drinks. And she runs that with her husband, Craig. And they take no mess in. It's like with our Facebook groups. If people cross the line, they're out because no one needs that negativity in their life. So if you are a Princess fan and sick of the Facebook groups, then that's the friendly one that I've seen.
Yeah.
I mean, I once got trolled and got somebody once went on to from the Princess group, went through one of our Princess price lists, and he copied the text and put it in his Facebook group. And when I went back and said it's copyright, it was actually trolling me.
Really?
I ended up going on his Facebook and seeing he had a wife and daughter and going back and saying, one day somebody might like you might speak to your wife and daughter like this.
Yeah.
He was nasty. You don't need that in your life. So yeah,
no.
I think what's coming in Princess is exciting. I think some Princess is going to be revolutionary. And
yeah,
one ship doesn't fit all, does it, in a brand? You've got to diversify and look at different ships to suit all people.
Yeah. Well, that leads us to kind of the next, say, two, I guess. Costa, we don't have a contract with Costa Direct in the UK just because they've stopped selling via travel agents. But I know of Costa. They're a Carnival brand and they're Italian, I believe. I always get confused by Aida's the German one, Costa's the Italian one, sorry.
Yep.
And MSC as well. So they're both kind of in that same category. I would dare say that MSC is technically like a star rating above Costa. But Costa, for example, is the cruise line that was selling a transatlantic cruise for £200 per person. So that kind of gives you some indication of the level of service and experience you're going to get on board when that is the price to get on board and I think it was like an 11-night sailing, something like that. This is an extremely budget value cruise line type of thing whereby water is chargeable for main dining and things like that. You know, you're not going to get a fantastic 5-star experience booking a Costa cruise. Now, again, we know loads of people who love booking a Costa cruise and they have a really lovely time because they know what they're getting in for. But I just think it's a bit unfair to kind of slate them as badly and put kind of them above Princess.
Well, I'm still shocked by Morella. I've no desire to ever sail on Costa. I'm letting them get a line. They look really swanky, don't they? They look like the ships look not swanky, but they look modern and a bit in your face, but I don't know. I wouldn't enjoy it. And I don't agree that MSC should be below them. I mean, I know that I've not cruised on MSC yet, but just going off Donna's experience, obviously I'll find out in 2 months when I go on. But their design of their ships, you can't compare that to Costa. I think maybe that's again, this goes down. I think MSC reviews goes on short cruises. I think if somebody goes on a short cruise, like a 3-night cruise, and thinks that's what cruising's going to be like, it's not. It's just nothing like it.
No. And again, this was taken as well, 2022. So this was post-COVID type of thing. And MSC did take a bit of a beating during that period just because they were the most aggressive with resuming post-COVID. So they were one of the first to kind of open up. They were already sailing kind of in Italy and around the Italian coastline. So they were really keen to kind of resume cruising, obviously, because they're one of the largest cruise companies. They wanted to get their fleet up and running. So there was a lot of criticism. And I sailed that summer, actually. That was our first MSC experience, was that summer with them. I'm not blaming MSC. COVID was around that time, but I did get COVID coming off MSC. And COVID cases were breaking out quite a lot of it on MSC. But that's because their ships are so big and they have so many people on board. And in their defense, the COVID restrictions have lifted. So it's not, we weren't social distancing. Masks mandates have been dropped by that point type of thing. And we were all catching COVID more regularly in that season. But I do think, again, MSC got a lot of negative press around that season because all the groups were complaining about kind of, you know, COVID outbreaks. Every cruise line had COVID outbreaks on board. You know, we sailed multiple cruise ships that season and there were reports of COVID breaking out across all of them. So, you know, it's not like it was immune to MSC. But again, I think just by the sheer number, that ship can take Virtuosa from the UK, at least, can take something like 5,000 people on a sailing. And as you say, they were doing 2, 3, 4, 5 night sailings, 5,000 people going through that ship every 2, 3 days. They had a lot of people that sailed on it. So they're going to have a larger sample set of people where things could potentially go wrong. I had a really lovely time on MSC. I have issues with MSC around their dining, but that's more because the way that they dealt with my husband's allergy. So for us personally, it wouldn't be a cruise line that we would rush to go back on just because he had issues around kind of menu choices and availability and options, that type of thing. But I've heard it's got better. I have heard it's got better. Oh, so good. I would like to go back on board just to see if that has improved. But the actual, you know, crew experience, the actual onboard experience, I generally really enjoyed my sailing on MSC Virtuosa from the UK. That I personally would go back on. It's just there are two people in this household and the other person in our household wouldn't go back on MSC.
Do you know what? I think a lot of these, because it's the same as my view of P&O. And when I was looking, I was doing an article for MSN the other day and the ship was phenomenal. The food was phenomenal.
Yep.
But I've no desire to go on it again. And do you know why that is? Because it's not, it's all British.
Yeah.
And I might be proud to be British, but I don't want to go on holiday with all British because I might as well go to the Butlings. But if that was staying around Barcelona or if it was going out the Caribbean, Iona.
Absolutely. I'd yeah.
And that is exactly the same, I think, as that the MSC people that are a bit disgruntled because the people that go out of America seem to have no problems at all.
Yeah, it's doing incredibly well. I know. Well, one of the ships did have, it failed its health and safety assessment at the start of its launch type of thing. It was one of the few ships that did. However, within the space of 4 weeks, they turned that around. It then was the top of the scale again for kind of health and safety. So MSC are adapting. And some of the things I'm hearing from MSC about what they're doing and how they're implementing and changing and improving the product as it moves forward, MSC have some really, really aggressive plans to really elevate the MSC experience type of thing. Yeah. So the MSC from 2022 is very different to the MSC of 2024. And I think they're only going to keep improving and getting better as they get bigger and bigger and their service improves, their quality improves. There's still going to be a value cruise. There's no denying that. They're very much targeting at the value customer. But that doesn't mean that you're still not going to have a fantastic time on board for a fantastic price. You know, it goes back to what you're saying. It's a cruise for everyone at the end of the day. You know, all-inclusive cruising for a really good price. Go to some fantastic destinations on beautiful contemporary ships. If you like that type of thing, you'll have a great time.
Yeah. And I think, for me, it's a whole Northern Europe thing. I've done it once. I don't want to do it again.
Yeah, yeah.
No desires. Because, you know, if it's not sunny, I'm not happy.
No, totally. Yeah, I agree with you. Can we talk about the next one on this list then? Because this one shocks me a little bit as well. So we're looking at kind of fourth from the bottom, which is Azamara. And they are a tiny boutique line. They've got, I think, 4 or 5 ships, something like that, maybe 6 at most. And I've heard wonderful things about them. They did go through a change of ownership, so Royal Caribbean sold them. So I do believe that was around about this time, and there was a bit of uncertainty about the standard and the quality as they were kind of changing ownership and some of the services and things like that were changing. But again, I'm shocked they're so low down on the list.
First of all, it's P&O. I mean, my only experience was Iona, and the ship was fabulous. The food was incredible. Gluten-free, they just went above and beyond. I think for me, it was just, I loved going to Northern Europe once, but I've no desire to go back again. And actually, I've been on the P&O website and thought, right, let's find a nice ship that's not in Europe, not going out of South Africa. There isn't, because all the good ships are out of Southampton. And I suppose it's like the Americans get Utopia of the Seas, we get Iona, but then that means we've got to go around Northern Europe.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to.
Iona is doing very much Northern Europe. She's doing the Norwegian Fjord type thing. So my top tip, if you're in the UK and you want to get a good price Norwegian Fjords cruise, P&O Iona is going to be the top choice type of thing. 7 night sailings from Southampton. Fantastic choice to kind of get out there. MSC do it, but they don't do it all year round. They do select sailings. Royal also do 2 or 3 as well, Norwegian Fjord sailings. But if you want a good family-priced cruise to Norwegian Fjords, P&O Iona pretty much all summer long is doing the fjords. And then, as you say, then Avia, their sister ship now, she does kind of Caribbean in the winter. And then in the summer months, she does the UK and she does kind of 14-night-ish sailings down to the Canaries. But again, as you say, it's 14 nights, so you have to spend 4 days of your cruise going through the Bay of Biscay, the English Channel, to get down to the warmer weather, which for me, I would just rather fly. Not everybody does, but I would just rather fly.
But no, the ships were... I can't fault the ship, the food, everything about it. It was just... I just wanted more of a mixed continental or a mixed group of nationalities. I think that just makes me happier. I feel like I'm on a holiday then.
I was going to say, we talk about this, though, so much on the podcast, and we are biased type of thing. And this is the difference, though, between us, what we personally would enjoy. So when we come to the podcast, we're talking about us personally. Our jobs as kind of travel writers and travel agents factor into that, but we share what we enjoy. So we both know we both enjoy kind of the more American international cruise lines. So that's why you love Royal. I like Royal as well. I love Virgin. They're American cruise lines that sail in Europe and they sail the Caribbean type of thing. So we like that experience. That's why some of the British departing cruise lines or the British heavy cruise lines aren't our personal taste. And I think that's kind of what we're trying to get across with this as well, is like, you know, Marella being sixth. I personally probably will never sail Marella at the end of the day. However, again, price point, amazing prices, fly cruise options, go into some amazing destinations. They have ships sailing America. They have ships sailing Asia. The Canaries, they do the Adriatic, they do some incredible itineraries for some incredible prices with fly cruise options, all inclusive as standard. Cannot fault the offering and the value for money. I just personally can never see me sailing on a Marella cruise ship.
Yeah, they have mega fans, don't they? I mean, that is never going to be me, but they do have mega fans, and we've got friends that will only sail with them. And you know, when you're would you go try Royal Caribbean? And they'll say, too expensive. So that's our different priorities, isn't it? I'd rather spend a week, and they'll do 2 weeks, probably for less, but they're happy with that.
That's a big part of this as well. I've got customers who ride and die. Like, she never cruised up until 2 years ago, would never set foot on a ship. She's done 9 P&O cruises in 2 years because she fell in love with them and absolutely loves them. And literally, she's booking when she's on board, and when she comes off the ship, she's also booking another one again. Her every time she's on a holiday, she's booked another cruise type of thing. And that was from never sailing to being a P&O ride and die. And she's tried MSC, she's tried other cruise lines, and she's just said, for how much she pays to get on board P&O, for the experience they offer, it's a perfect happy balance between her. She knows she could probably get a nicer experience on a more premium cruise line, but that doesn't matter to her. She likes the exploring and just being off, relaxing and having that thing. So she's happy paying the P&O price to get on board and have a Fly Canaries cruise.
I don't think, well, obviously talking about Iona, so it's the more modern ship, but I don't think I could have had a nicer experience on Royal Caribbean. I just think I liked the diverse mix of people and I liked the sun. And for me, that's a really big factor. But then, if you don't care who's on board, not that there was a problem with anyone on board, because everybody was fine and everybody was nice. There was a lot of British people. And then people talk about how much they pay for their cruise and and then you're wrapped up in a woolly and got a bobble hat on to go out and tour. And that, so I couldn't fault my experience at all. But it was just my desire to go back because there was no sun and I like a more mix. But where some people don't like that, they like the opposite. Some people want to be around everybody British.
I get asked all the time, is there a kettle in the room? Are they going to serve British beer? Are they going to serve British, you know, am I going to get a Sunday roast? And I get it at the end of the day. We all work so hard for our holiday. So when we go away, we want the things that we like, which this is the whole point of this thing, isn't it? It's about what do people like personally rather than kind of what's right or wrong. There is no definitive right or wrong.
But you know, I got on and I judged. I was like, oh my God, look at it. Roasted on a ship. It's ridiculous. But it's my favourite meal of the week. By day three, I was having roasted on. Because it's just, there is no,
it's home comfort, though, isn't it, for us? It's home comfort for us type of thing. And it's funny, though, right? That when I did my Virgin Voyages back-to-back for 2 weeks, and we all know how much I love Virgin Voyages, I equally, though, was craving a bit of home comfort food. I was a bit like, I would just like a standard, British fryer. I want English bacon. I'm sick of this American stuff by about day 10. So you do. We all love what we love. We love what we know type of thing. And P&O have honed in. They've made that experience quintessentially British, you know, and you do get British home comforts when you sail with them. That's part of the appeal.
I mean, next we've got Holland America. I know nothing about Holland America. You've been on, haven't you?
I loved my Holland America cruise, honestly. Now, it could be emotionally tied to the fact that it was Alaska. So, obviously, it was a bucket list destination and I was in awe of it. But I cannot fault anything. Well, I can. I can't fault the general experience. There were things I didn't enjoy, definitely, but they were nothing to do with kind of anything Holland America did. You know, there's a few processes around the drinks package, but then that's just drinks package maths. Every cruise line has nuances to their drinks package. But the actual ship is beautiful. The crew, the onboard experience, the food, the dining, everything was lovely. I can't fault Holland America. Again, they're going to cater to a very particular customer at the end of the day. I personally didn't enjoy any of the entertainment on board. It bored me to tears. But everything else was incredible type of thing. So I do think they're skewed slightly more mature, traditional, timeless, classic cruiser. But wonderful cruise line. Can't fault them. So again, I'm shocked they're as far down below compared to some other cruisers. But somebody's got to be in the bottom, I guess, haven't they?
Fred Olsen, would you book anyone? Do you have any customers that book Fred Olsen?
Very small Fred Olsen client base, very small. But again, Fred Olsen skews quite towards the more mature side of the market. I've heard wonderful things, and a handful of customers I've booked with Fred have all thoroughly loved their time on board. And I've booked young customers, so my demographic tends to be kind of in its core, kind of mid-30s to kind of 50s is like our core market. Fred Olsen tends to be a bit more mature than that. But the few that I have booked, they've all loved it and had a great time. I left my passport at home when I was meant to do a ship visit, so I wasn't able to get on, which was incredibly annoying after driving down to Southampton to realize I left my passport at home. So I've yet to get on a Fred Olsen ship, but I've heard wonderful things. But again, certain customers will enjoy a Fred Olsen cruise over others.
So I need to get this right way around. So Fred Olsen, the ones that they're a bit old fashioned, aren't they? So Saga, even though they aim at a higher age group, they're the ones that are really luxurious, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah. Brand new ships, basically. They're all relatively new. They are aimed at, obviously, I think you've got to be like 50 plus, I'm pretty sure, to get on board Saga, maybe older. We, again, Saga don't. They only sell through select travel agents. So unfortunately, I can't sell Saga. I used to where I was previously, but I can't anymore. So I've stopped paying attention to their marketing. But I, again, if you look at any review, press review, any kind of impartial review of Saga, it literally hits every score and the ball mark type of thing. They do incredible, get fantastic reviews. Everyone I know who goes on a Saga cruise has a wonderful time. You know, they're not cheap. They're probably up there with the more premium price point of the cruise lines. But the fact is, I believe it includes, for every customer, it includes chauffeur driving anyway from every home to kind of the airport or whatever. And there may be limits on kind of distance. I can't remember. Sorry, it's been a while since I've sold it. But again, it's very attentive. Obviously, knowing their demographic is going to be the slightly more mature customer who's going to want that extra hand-holding, maybe want a bit more support. Again, I've not heard a bad thing other than jokes around, it's an old person's cruise, it's Saga. Yeah. But the onboard experience, I would love to go on it personally. Everything I've seen about Saga is wonderful. Can't fault it.
I must say, what I've seen of the ships, I know that you go, oh, Saga is that. But to be fair, I do just fit into that category just.
You're waiting your deposits and warming up in your bank account, warming up that deposit.
The ship looks amazing. It looks absolutely stunning. And I think that this would resolve all of my cruise ship swimming pool issues.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm going to get around that pole. Right, so then next, another two shockers, Cunard and Celebrity.
Celebrity shocks me more than Cunard. Oh, that sounds awful because I love Cunard as well. But I'm shocked Celebrity. Knowing that they're Forbes 4-star rated, they're one of the few only brands to get the Forbes star rating for a cruise, shocks me so much that they're in the middle of the pack on this line type of thing. And again, I'm going to put it out there and say I have a sneaky suspicion this is the princess effect. Celebrity have made some questionable changes to kind of their booking processes. They've taken gratuities out of all included. They've got rid of some amenities and some perks on board. They did cut their budget on food spend in 2020 during the COVID period when this is based type of thing. So I'm going to guess a lot of this was just the post-COVID recovery negativity, and people who are maybe going on board now probably would rate this a lot higher than they did back then.
Definitely. Well, I don't know anyone that's come off Celebrity and said a bad thing. And I think that the Celebrity, I mean, I might be wrong here, but we love Royal Caribbean, but I think we're probably coming towards the end of our Royal Caribbean career, shall I say, until we've got grandkids. I see Celebrity fitting in there. So that I think it's a natural progression. You get that same standard of service, but it's just a bit more maybe refined, luxurious.
Yeah, no, definitely. I agree with you. And I think, you know, I hate saying this because I say about so many other lines, but I think if we hadn't fallen in love with Virgin Voyages as hard as we had, I have a sneaky suspicion Princess or Celebrity would have been our next choice of our main cruise line that we would have probably booked with. Just because, as you say, that premium service, the attention to detail, quality of food, destinations they cover and everything. Like, to be fair, Celebrity cover a lot more destinations than Virgin, so there are some, and Princess equally as well. So for like Asia at the moment, for Alaska, places like that, it probably will be someone like Celebrity or Princess we go with, just because Virgin don't cover those routes at the moment.
But then you've got Royal and Norwegian Cruise Line. Now I click them, I'd say that I think the thing is with NCL, it's got all the bells and whistles, and I loved it when I went on Encore, when I went on Bliss, I loved it. It's amazing. But I think they're more for adults, even though there's all that stuff for kids. I think if you've got kids, you've got to pay a lot of extra, so a lot of it is extra. And I love the ship, but we went out of Miami 7 nights, and there weren't many kids on. And I don't know, I just feel like Royal Caribbean is more family friendly, even though Royal Norwegian Cruise Line has it all. Whether that was just that cruise, I don't know.
No, I would. That's my perception as well, type of thing. If ever I sell NCL, it's generally, and again, we primarily sell to adult-only couples as well. But I feel like Royal is an easier sell to families, and NCL will kill me if they listen to this. But Royal has a lot. I think Royal have invested so much more money into the multi-gen, the ultimate family vacation. They've really gone hard on kind of pools for everyone, kids clubs for everyone, surf simulators, this, that, and the other. There's a lot more kind of bells and whistles to grab onto to sell kind of a Royal Caribbean cruise to a multi-gen family. Whereas NCL, the big sell is that free at sea package type of thing. So to kind of go to an adult couple of like, well, look, for £200 for a 7-night sailing, you're going to get a drinks package and speciality, is an easy sell to kind of do that type of thing. Whereas I think Royal have surpassed them a little bit. Not to say again, prefacing this, NCL, wonderful choice. Not going to have a bad time on board. Wonderful for families. I just feel like from a marketing point of view, Royal Caribbean have done a better job at showcasing and innovating in that family space more than NCL perhaps have recently.
NCL, when we went on, I mean, we had an amazing time. I loved it, loved it, loved it. But would I have taken the kids when they were younger? I'm not sure. Even though it's got the water slide, it's got all the stuff for the kids. I think if you want less kids, go on NCL. But then maybe in the holidays, they're more hammered. But for us, it was the cavern, it was all the shows, the choir of men, it was all the dining. So for all of that, it's more adult. And for adults, we had just an amazing time, and I'd go back on. But I don't know if I'd take the kids when they were younger. But then because you. I do think, though, I mean, I remember going on Royal Caribbean when the boys were little, and obviously there was lots of people without kids on there, and thinking they channel people well. So maybe that's what NCL are doing. Maybe they're channeling the kids away so that we're not seeing them. And maybe next time I go on Royal Caribbean, and obviously now my kids are adults, maybe I'll notice that you don't see the kids as much. I don't know, but that was like my experience. It was just very much adult, and it's an adult's playground. It's brilliant, and I love it. Whereas, like, Royal is more family orientated, even though they've both got all the stuff.
See, I have a sneaky suspicion. We've not sailed with NCL yet. And I've only been on Royal, Phil hasn't. But I think out of those two, I think Phil would probably enjoy NCL more than Royal. And I think for us as a couple, like you say, I think we would probably enjoy NCL a little bit more as a couple than Royal. Not to say we wouldn't have a wonderful time on Royal either, but I just feel like because the free at sea package, the specialty dining, the freestyle dining, that just appeals to me and Phil more than some of the things that that's the stuff that NCL do really well is soft. It's not physical type of thing. It's the service, it's the freestyle dining, it's all that type of stuff. Whereas Royal are very much hardware. Not to say the software is not good, the crew are amazing, the service is amazing, but just what they're good at shouting about anyway. That's the only way I can kind of differentiate them at the end of the day is their hardware and the software.
My only beef with NCL is the water. I'll just never get over that. It just annoyed me so much.
Oh, the drinking
You
water.
can't, yeah. Like Royal Caribbean, you can just go to the bar and they'll give you a can of water. It's like, why is that so difficult? And then they sell you the water bottle, well, NCL, to put your water in, but you're not allowed to fill the water bottle up. So that, I mean, you know what I'm like about water. I have to look all the time, everywhere I go, I've got water. And it was just like, unless you bought the package, a water package, did you have to upgrade? You couldn't have auto. I just think it's a basic human right. I think they've got that completely wrong.
It'll be interesting. I want it's something I want to book as a personal cruise to do NCL so I can have that proper first-hand experience. I'm only ever hearing it from other people, so something that's on my list to do is fine. And they've got some great prices and some great itineraries. Their New England coast, for example. I know you're not a cold weather person, but me and Phil desperately want to get back to that New England coast. They've got some great sailings with NCL type things to do that, in New York and Caribbean type of thing. So it's on the list, but this list of our future cruises just gets bigger by the week. It doesn't get any smaller whatsoever.
No, I'd definitely do it again. Definitely do it again. I loved it, but the water thing irritated me. And the slide. You couldn't go on the slide unless you were naked, basically.
Different kind of cruise.
But it's just because you couldn't have any clips on anything. Well,
yeah.
How can you ever clean without clips on? It's just, wish it was sticking safety, ain't happening. So, yeah, but I loved it.
Yeah.
But we'll see about the Royal Caribbean slides because I'm going on next month. So we'll find out.
So I want to just talk about Disney because I could talk about Disney for hours and hours and hours. And they are my backdrop for the week is Disney Cruise Line. And it doesn't surprise me they're towards the top. I personally would put them at the top because I'm biased. But again, Disney's not for everyone. And this is a prime example of why lists like this are absolutely rubbish. Just because there are some people who will not pay the premium. Disney is not a cheap cruise line. You could have the same cruise with anyone else for about half the price and still have an amazing time if the ports are what matter to you. However, there is no better experience than walking on board a Disney cruise line into the atrium and having the cast members, ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard the Disney Fantasy, the Eccles Miller family, and having everyone clap as you walk on the ship for the very first time. There's Mickey and Minnie on the stairs, you know, waving at you and welcoming you on board. You know, you're going into the Caribbean and Pirate Knight on board. They're letting off fireworks and Pirate Mickey is swinging across between the two funnels and coming down and fighting off pirates type of thing. There is nothing more magical for a Disney fan than a Disney cruise, other than the bill you get to book onto a Disney cruise. They're definitely expensive, but they are by far my top favorite cruise line. I loved every minute of being on board Disney. Just, it is very expensive.
I do need to try it. And I mean, you know that I'm a mega Disney fan. But I think what I've said this before, it put me off in COVID, or that it just looked like they were run too many kids. And again, it was short cruises. And I think I need to just book it and try it for myself. But again, probably at the Caribbean.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I really, really want to do the Disney Treasure. The ship looks incredible. It looks amazing. My bank account, however, does not want me to do the Disney Treasure. It's not a cheap ship to do. and this just comes back to this whole thing about the right cruise, the right sailing type of thing. I look at it. Virgin Voyages is my other favorite. I do class them both the same. And I could do multiple Virgin Voyages cruises pretty much for the price of a seven-night sailing on the Disney Treasure. And that's a tough pill to swallow. And that comes down to you've got to pick why are you booking it for it. Like we booked Disney for our honeymoon. It was a special treat. It was not a once in a lifetime. Hopefully we'll go back. But it was a special time to go on board everything so we could justify the premium. If we're going to explore new ports, new destinations, I probably wouldn't pick Disney. I would pick a different cruise line where it's a bit cheaper maybe to get to those new ports because I don't need the Disney magic, the Disney premium type of thing. So again, it's about finding the right ship for the reasons you're sailing.
Yeah, I'm curious to try it. And it's stuff like I really want to go in the Haunted Mansion bar. I really want to do that. Yeah. So it's stuff like that. And I think I would be a bit beside myself. Chris has probably gone to Disney this year with an arm up his back. I'm going to say, he wasn't for going. But he is going. And he's going to like it. But I'm a mega fan. So I can't see why I wouldn't like it. But it's really interesting because in our group, which is all over 8,000 parents, and it never hardly gets mentioned. And maybe that's the premium.
It is. It is like there is no, like, I think they've got it here now. So the guide price. So, for example, like, you know, they do an indicative price per night. Again, pointless because, again, there's seasonality, all that type of stuff. But Disney is an indicated price per night of around about £478. Bear in mind, gratuities are extra. There's no drinks package. You can't get a drinks package on Disney. Whereas, for example, Royal Caribbean is £236 per night. So, you know, I wasn't joking when I said for pretty much half the price, you know, you can go on a Royal Caribbean cruise. Now, again, there's other costs related to this. There are other factors. They're just guide prices. But that's what you're looking at. Disney is a big
Caribbean's
premium.
Caribbean's not cheap, is it? Caribbean's not cheap.
Well, MSC, for example, is £138 per night. So that's like Again, this is why this is no different at the end. I could, like, Virgin Voyages, my favorite cruise line, £296. They're not a cheap cruise line. They're not. They're a premium cruise line. You pay extra for what you get it on, but I can justify it for all the extra value. The fact that Wi-Fi is included, gratuities are included. I get my soft drinks, so I don't have to pay for alcohol if I don't want to have, you know, a water or a Coke or whatever. I value those things. They're important to me. Whereas for other people, they're not bothered. They'll pay the £138 per day to get on MSC and then pay for the bits they want to use. Whereas I'd rather just have it all bundled in and know I'm having a good time.
Do you know, actually saying that, I bet we've spent another £1,400 on our 5-night Royal Caribbean cruise.
Yep.
In April. By the time you bought the drinks packages, the Wi-Fi, and there was something else I bought. Oh, Joe's soft drinks packages, there's something else. And we've spent £1,400 on top. Now, for me, it's worth it because I love it and I know that I'm going to enjoy it. But yeah, when you look at it like that, which Chris always says that to me, I say, to the cruise, it's a real bargain. It's like, what about the extra? It's not £2,000, is it, Sarah? That's what you always says to me.
Well, we did it with the transatlantic we booked down. Me and Phil were like, oh, it's a bargain, Phil. It's a really cheap transatlantic and just didn't I do this for a living. Got excited by the amazing price that we had at the time we booked it and then realized how much the Wi-Fi package is going to be for those 14 nights and how much the drinks package is going to be for those 14 nights. And again, yes, we could go without Wi-Fi we need for the business, but we could go without a drinks package and pay as we go, definitely. I just don't trust me and Phil to go 14 days, 10 days at sea without a drinks package, like, at all. It's going to be more expensive again. But our drinks package of Wi-Fi is more expensive than the price we paid to get on that cruise.
I suppose we should pay as we went before the days of the drinks package and never really thought about it and probably spent the same. So it's not that the drinks package is expensive. I mean, do you know what I think it is? Like the other year when I got the drinks package for £30 a person, I mean, those days are gone.
Yeah.
Now when you're paying £65, it's like, obviously people hammered it, didn't they? And that, I suppose they did it to incentivize or whatever.
And we definitely get our value for money with it. There's no denying that. That's why we know for a fact we'd have to have it. But it's just, it adds up type of thing. So, but again, everyone values things differently. Some people have to have it. We value a drinks package. Other people don't. So,
right. So we've probably run out of time. So if we do the top three.
Well, we've kind of touched upon Saga, haven't we? But it's things like then it's hardly surprised then that you see cruise lines like Oceania, Seabourn, Viking especially, at the top of the list. Noble Caledonia I've never even come across, so that's a new one to me. I'm going to have to do some research on them, but I think they're a small ship cruise.
With a £675 a night,
Yeah, so their price per night's quite high, but they seem to get, for everything they graded on, which is things like customer service, space, cabin quality, they've got 5 out of 5 on pretty much everything, so there must be a reason why, but I have to admit, never heard of them, sorry, so I need to do a bit of research on that. But Viking, doesn't surprise me, Viking is towards the top. Incredibly popular cruise line. We can't sell them because, again, they've stopped selling to travel agents in the UK and the USA. You can book them via a travel agent, but in the UK, you can't anymore. But I've not heard a negative thing about Viking. People rave about Viking left, right and centre.
So I suppose the overriding theme, because we just waffled for 40 minutes, looking at this and looking at the results, there is a cruise for everybody because if you put somebody that loves MSC on Viking, they'd probably hate it and vice versa.
Absolutely.
And that's the point, I suppose, of this podcast, is that there is no bad cruise line. It's what you enjoy. And that's not us sucking up, because I've openly said the ones I wouldn't go on in here, and there are certain cruise lines because they're not the ones I enjoy and they're not the ones you enjoy. But I know what I do enjoy and that's what I stick to. And that's why you can't listen too much to these things, because you don't know, because if all Marilla fans voted on this, then that doesn't do justice to the other cruise lines, does it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the thing, like, you know, I'm being biased because I'm a travel agent, but definitely do research yourself, have a listen around, read some reviews of people, definitely, but just be very careful that things like this, they're a sample section. You know, as Sarah said at the beginning as well, certain blogs will have affiliate links built into their website as well. So they may be listing certain cruise lines above others as their favorites because they're the ones that will give them a bigger kickback. It's not as transparent as you may think. And I don't think you can rank this is the best cruise line, this is the worst cruise line. There's always going to be some sort of caveat. It's either going to be because of the type of people they're interviewing. Cruise lines like Viking Saga, they only have a limited number of ships. They only have small ships that have limited number of capacity per ship. So there's going to be a smaller number of people each year that can sail with Viking than can sail with MSC, for example. So there's a higher chance that MSC customers are going to find things to have issues with because there are more people sailing it. You just have to, like Virgin, for example, they've rated incredibly high. I think it's warranted, it's justified. But at that point, they had two ships sailing. So again, only two ships sailing with a capacity of 2,700 people. They don't have a lot of people who can actually give them, you know, a really varied subsection of the entire populace who can review them. And that's my favorite cruise line. I'm willing to point out and say, they're not for everyone. There are people who would go on Virgin and be like, get me off. I hate this. This isn't for me. You just need to be careful and just be mindful of the advice you're taking and just take every bit of advice with a pinch of salt and go, but what am I looking for? What am I trying to do on this cruise? Is it the spa? Is it the food? Is it the dining, the entertainment, the destination, the cabin? What is it that matters the most to me? And pick the cruise line that ticks that box for you rather than kind of going online and going best cruise ship for this, because you'll get so many impartial opinions.
And could I just add, we do not have affiliates for that reason.
Yeah.
Because it's got to be impartial. It's got to be that is our opinion. If you're a Royal Caribbean fan, you'll get it. If you're not a Royal Caribbean fan, you'll think that they've lost the plot then too. So, it's, you know, if you've got affiliates, it makes it harder to give a subjective opinion, I think. But then, you know, each their own.
Well, it's just, as we said, though, just check where the information is coming from. And that's why we use this at the end of the day. We've been honest. This has come from which at the end of the day, and it's a good gauge. But it is fallible as well, because this is a subsection of which subscribers, 1,727 of them, it is a subsection at the end of the day. Just make sure when you're reading these lists and reading these reviews that you get where the information is coming from. That's all. Just read a little bit more than just simple 1 to 10.
And tell us your favourite cruise line, because it'd be interesting to know, because obviously we can see from our, what's it called, statistics, which are the most popular episodes.
Yeah.
Can people comment, Kieran? I don't even know if there's an answer to this. But if you can, let us know your favourite cruise line.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, well, let us know type of thing. Either, as I said at the beginning, leave us a review and let us know your favourite cruise line and what you've enjoyed. But equally as well, you can find us obviously on social media as well. I can't remember any of our socials, but they'll be linked below this episode for the first time in a while, because I keep forgetting we have them. But we are on Twitter, we are on Instagram and Facebook as well, so feel free to reach out. Or, and this leads us on to kind of a bit of our wrap-up, Sarah, but if the guys wanted to tell you on your social media channels for Cruising for All, where can the guys find you?
So you can find us on Cruising for All, Cruising with Kids. We come up for both of them. On social, we're more Cruising for All. But you search Cruising for All, Cruising with Kids, then we come up.
So if you want to tell Sarah that you disagree and you think Royal Caribbean's an awful cruise line, then hunt her down.
And I will never speak to you again. I think tonight.
And then equally, if you think Virgin Voyages and Disney are awful, you could find me online as well anywhere. If you guys are ever interested in booking a cruise from the UK and you would like to help me down, you can find me online everywhere under magical-traveler.com or on my social media is magical, TRVLR. And again, I just love to hear from you guys as well, regardless of whether you want to book or not, just if you're enjoying the podcast as well, and you enjoy what we chat about. And any topics you'd like us to cover as well, just because we do talk about Royal Virgin Celebrity quite a lot. It'd be interesting to see what you guys want to hear from. We've got a few more ports coming up soon, Sarah, haven't we? But also excitingly, we're actually going to try and do some live episodes from a cruise ship, which
we're not
going to be interesting.
We're not streaming them live, are we? We're going to video them from the cruise ship. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
we've got Mariner of the Seas in a month's time. We'll be recording. I don't think I might get time to, or I probably won't get time to do MSC cruises because it's a weekend cruise.
Yeah, no, you've literally got like 48 hours on the ship, haven't you?
And then you've got Virgin.
I'm doing the Irresistible Med with Virgin Voyages. So yes, we're going to try and film an episode at some point that week as well to get a hot seat opinion.
And then we're going to be really brave and try to do, I'm going to be on the transatlantic over to, no, coming back this way. Which way am I going? I'm going that way. Donna's going to be sailing out of New York, and Kieran, we don't know where Kieran's going to be yet, but so we're going to try and do that as well.
Yep. So we're going to try and see if we can do some actual on-ship reviews, which is just nice because we're going to get raw emotions then as well at what's happening in that moment. So I think it'd be quite nice to kind of share that as well. So if you guys are looking forward to that, then definitely keep a listen out and look forward to the next episode. Other than that, guys, I hope you've enjoyed this episode and we'll see you on the next one. Take care. Bye.
Bye.